All right, John. So I botched this one clearly, and
isn't the only one you botched, Mark. But it was awesome to watch your face when you screwed up Motor Maids.
Yeah, it's, you know, I just wish you wouldn't revel with such glow. I mean, you, for half an hour, you were gleaming across the table at me, so happy that I botched the name of this organization. It is Motor with an R, yes, Maids, nice not job, Moto. Mark.
Good job.
Welcome to the Behind the Bars podcast, where we discuss all things motorcycles, memories, and mayhem.
Oh, this is awesome.
Sponsored by Wilkins Harley Davidson. Let's get this thing started. Here's John and Mark.
So on the line with us today is Sandra Hinksman. Sandra is vice president of the Motor Maids, calling in from Toronto. Hi, Sandra. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Hi, Sandra. How are you?
I'm excellent, thanks.
So, Sandra, we know you are very, very busy. We don't want to waste any time. We want to get right into this. You know, Mark and I were just talking about quite an extensive history, the Motor Maids. You know, could you, just for our listeners that maybe don't know a lot about Motor Maids, give us just a little bit of history about them?
Well, we've been in existence since 1940. In 1949, the first Canadian Motor Maid joined the club, and we started out with just 51 members. We became a chartered club with the AMA, and I believe it was 1941 when we got our charter membership. But yeah, we started out with 51 members, and we currently have just over 1,300 throughout the U.S. and Canada.
Interesting. And so what is, how do you get into the Motor Maids? What's the criteria?
The only criteria really is that you're a woman who owns her own bike or has access to a bike in the family, and that you ride. You have to ride your motorcycle.
It sounds like a pretty simple, that sounds like a almost a club that you could be involved with, Mark.
Well, there's one specific criteria I don't meet.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm just saying that it doesn't seem like it's a difficult criteria to get involved with.
Well,
I guess my point.
I don't want to start the podcast off on this note, but I do also want to correct you. I think you're calling it Motor Maids with an R, right? It's Moto.
It
is Motor.
Yeah, it's Motor, Mark. I'm actually very pleased, Sandra, that an expert is on the phone with us so that Mark could be corrected, and because he heard the R and he wanted to make fun of me.
My apologies.
For our listeners can't see Mark, but his face is pink right now.
Yeah, because
so
it's
Mark
true.
Is typically, just so you know, Sandra, in reviews we have a review of our podcast that calls Mark as very cerebral, and clearly he's not very cerebral if he doesn't know that it's Motor Maids. Everybody knows that.
I'm looking at your notes, John, and you have Moto.
Well, that's how I write with my pen. Okay.
All right, now that we got that.
And
out
I'm
of the
sure
way.
You've got some questions for Sandra because you did a bunch of research.
Well, clearly my research was sketchy if I didn't get the motor right. My apologies, Sandra.
No problem.
So you had 51 charter members in 1940?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty fantastic. So what do you know anything about the history of how those charter members were developed? I mean, how was the organization publicized back then? I mean, this is obviously pre-internet and so on and so forth. How did you have such reach?
Well, Dot Robinson, one of the co-founders, her family owned a dealership up in Michigan. And Linda DeGoe was out of Rhode Island, and she was looking for other women to ride with. And she started writing letters to different dealers. And Dot had been writing letters around trying to find other women. They knew they couldn't possibly be the only two women that were riding. And it was through this letter campaign that they found each other and then went about finding other women that were also interested in riding. Dot Robinson used to do all kinds, and Linda DeGoe were both competed in a lot of different motorcycle races and these trail runs, and so they were out there, and that was through this letter campaign and through some of the competitions that they found other women, and that's how they got together. But yeah, before the internet, before you just, you know, pushed a button and found all kinds of people and the world became a much smaller place, it was a lot more difficult to round up these women, and even more difficult for a Canadian to join. I mean, our first Canadian member, Audrey Alexander, who joined in 1949, same thing. She didn't have the internet. She just had magazines and discovered the Motor Maids and then wrote a letter and joined through a letter writing campaign.
So you mentioned Dot Robinson. She was also your first president, is that right?
That's right, yeah. She was a co-founder and president and was president for the first 25 years of the club.
And she was an off-road racer or a street racer?
Off-road. They did, you know, the hill climbing and she did competitions with a sidecar, and they would ride, you know, really off-road racing, really. When you see pictures of it, it's amazing. And she would win. There's a story where the AMA wouldn't let her compete because she was a woman. And so she wrote letters to all the other competitors and said, you know, do you have a problem racing against a woman? And they couldn't possibly say no. So she had them sign a petition, and she got to compete with the men.
Sandra, so tell us, you know, as far as the Motor Maids, what would be your, what's your favorite story in history involving the Motor Maids?
Well, I don't know if it's true or not, but...
Well, the best stories have a little bit of truth mixed in.
Right. So Dot had a motorcycle. And, you know, back in the day, back in the 30s and 40s, women had access to the motorcycles because their husbands were off at war and these bikes were left behind. And
I
so
see.
They started riding them. And then, of course, when the war was over and the men came home, they weren't exactly going to give up the bikes. And so Dot had this bike, and every time, you know, she'd go to ride it, it was gone. Her husband was on it. So she had the bike painted pink, and it never went missing again.
Well, a little bit about our history. I'm not sure, Sandra, if you're familiar, but Wilkins Harley-Davidson was founded in 1947, and my grandmother and grandfather founded the business, and Harry and Barb Wilkins, and they... Only their motor transportation, my grandfather applied for the dealership while he was serving in World War II, and when he got back, he found out he was a dealer, and their only sole mode of transportation was a motorcycle, and my grandmother rode a motorcycle as well, and they had twins, my uncle and my mom also rode a motorcycle, and so the pictures of her sitting on motorcycles were... you know, she's a petite thing and not didn't look like she could actually even hold the motorcycle up, but she was able to. And mm-hmm. so I love those types of stories because, you know, hearing women become empowered and taking these motorcycles out, it could have been based on necessity that they didn't have a lot of means or transportation to get from A to B. And so that's why the motorcycle was available to them, and they just had to make it work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sandra,
yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of these stories, you know, and especially like back in that day and age where it was really unusual, and to be able to find that many women to ride and to create a club that's lasted this long is really, really quite amazing.
I'm curious, Sandra, if you've heard stories about the early days of the organization and how it was accepted. I my imagination tells me that it had to be a little bit controversial for women to be riding motorcycles back in the 40s and 30s. And I'm curious if any particular stories come to mind as the club started to emerge. What was the reaction, particularly amongst you know, the male riders of the time?
Well, I mean, I don't know that, I've not heard of any stories where any of the riders had trouble with other men riders, because I think really when you're riding a motorcycle, it's almost a camaraderie, regardless of your, you know, whether you're male or female, it's a common bond that you have with riding. But I have heard stories where some of the ladies in their travels, going to convention and whatnot, having trouble getting fuel. Like gas stations wouldn't let them refuel their bikes, or couldn't get rooms in hotels because they were women on bikes. So, you know, I've heard those kinds of stories. We don't have those issues nowadays, but back in, you know, the 40s and early 50s, I guess that those are kind of some of the things that they faced. But I don't think they faced any trouble from other motorcyclists, other male motorcyclists.
Interesting. The other part of your history that I'm fascinated by and I'd like to know more about is from a pretty early point, you had a uniform of sorts, did you not, for the lady riders?
Oh, we still do. We still have a uniform. It's changed over the years, and it's up for consideration for changing again. But right now we have our uniform, our black pants, black boots, a blue mock turtleneck shirt, long sleeve, and a white vest. And on the back of the vest, it tells you what state or province we're from. And in parade, we wear these uniforms, and along with the white gloves, we wear the white gloves in parade.
What did the early or the first uniforms look like?
The first uniforms were gray, black, with a blue blouse, and on the back of the blouse had in almost a script embroidery the state that you were from. And it was a little white, kind of like a little white bow tie, not really a bow tie, but just a sort of a ribbon around the neck.
Fascinating. You must have old photos of the groups back then with the original uniforms.
Oh, we have historian, an actual one of our officers is a historian, and she's got an amazing collection of photos and memorabilia from the very beginning. So we've got some amazing photos of our club and how everyone is dressed and the motorcycles, and it's pretty fascinating.
John is still snickering about my initial faux pas over here. I can see him. He's thrilled that I botched that. But maybe I'll impress him with this. I don't know if he knows this, but
you definitely won't impress me, but go ahead.
Well, did you know that Harley Davidson and the Motor Maids have a history themselves? Back in 1953, Harley Davidson produced and made a specific paint set for motorcycles for the Motor Maids.
I did not know that.
You didn't know that. Well, I'm curious, Sandra, do you know about that paint set?
I do know. I have heard of it, and I think it would be really cool if they did it again.
I totally agree with you. What did the paint set look like for the Motor Maids Harley Davidson?
I'm assuming it was the blue and the gray, because those are our colors. Blue, white, and gray are the colors for the Motor Maids. Our logo, for example, our crest, the large crest with the Motor Maids ink in it, can only be put on either blue, gray, or white. Those are the only colors it can be on. So those are our official colors. So I'm assuming it would have been a blue and the white and the gray, or blue and gray.
Sandra, describe the crest for us, for listeners that haven't seen it.
Well, it's a shield, and then inside the shield is a script of Motor Maids ink. And in actual, the shape of the shield, if you were to wear your sunglasses and ride for hours in the sun, and then at the end of the day you took those sunglasses off, you would have a tan line. And the shape of our shield is that. It's that tan line.
Huh. That's very cool.
It is cool. Very interesting. So, Sandra, one of the interesting things I read about your group involved the description that you guys were referred to as the Elite Women's Riding Club. And I'm curious about that label, not because of the word elite, but were there other women riding groups or clubs that you were coexisting with, and did the elite portion of that arise from that?
I don't really know. I've never heard that. elite. I've never heard. I mean, obviously there are other women riding clubs out there. We have several members currently that belong to other women's clubs, but I've never actually heard the term elite.
Well, that's probably, Sandra, that could very well be because Mark makes things up as he goes.
I did not.
He misreads and misunderstands things.
No.
Who knows where that came from?
Well, I'll tell you where it came from.
If she doesn't know, then it probably doesn't exist, Mark.
Well, I don't make it up. As I did some research on the history of the motor maids.
Yes.
I found that it was referred to at one point as the Elite Women's Riding Club. And so perhaps I might have shed some light on something that Sandra didn't know. But
I doubt that.
You have.
I doubt that. I think it was just a description. That's it. Period.
Well, you know? Okay, it could be.
What else did you research, Mark, that maybe Sandra can debunk?
Well, there are many illustrious members of this group, two of which I think have particularly interesting backgrounds. And I'm wondering if you know, Sandra, about Margaret Wilson and Gloria Strzok.
Yes. Well, Margaret Wilson is sadly no longer with us. She passed away a few years ago, but both her and Gloria Strzok were inducted into the Sturgis Motorcycle Hall of Fame a few years ago. And I know Gloria is, she's just finished writing a book, so she's on a bit of a book tour right now. And Gloria has 72 years of active riding in the club.
Wow.
She's our oldest or longest member. But we've got other members that have been in the club as long, in their 70th year. Berger Legere of Indiana, she just received her 70th year of membership, and that's actively riding. These women are still riding. We've got quite a few members. Actually, Golden Life members are members who have been in the club and actively riding for 50 years.
Huh.
We have 23 members with 50 plus years.
Wow.
Of membership.
That's fantastic.
So a golden rider, just so I understand, someone that's ridden over 50 years.
Well, who has been in the club.
Club?
As a motor meet. Yeah, they've been members of the motor meet.
So they've been riding at least 50 years then.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So they've been riding longer. And so we've got three or four that have been riding 70 plus years.
And did you call them Golden Lights?
They're Golden Life members. So Golden Life is...
Oh, Golden Life. Got it.
Yeah, L-I-F-E.
I'm having trouble with letters today, John.
Well, you have, not only do you have trouble reading, but hearing as well.
I don't know. It's just an off day. I don't know.
So...
Could be my Canadian accent.
That's what Mark will say after we hang up here, Sandra.
Yeah, I got to find something.
Sandra, I know you are you're busy. You're in between meetings and whatnot. Anything that we haven't touched upon that you think is important before we sign off that maybe our listeners would be interested in hearing about the Motor Maids?
Well, we have a convention every year. It moves around around the U.S. and Canada. And for 2019, the Motor Maids will be in Temecula, California. So we expect to have anywhere from 450 to 500 motor maids that have ridden to convention. It is a requirement to be able to vote at our convention because it's where we do our club business. It is a requirement to ride to and from convention. So you'll see anywhere from 450 to 500 plus women riding motorcycles across the U.S. and Canada heading to Temecula, California next year.
Awesome. That's exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is. We're very excited to get out there.
So Sandra, like I said, I know we're busy. You're running around, and so I don't want to spend any more time than we've already taken up with you.
Wait a minute, John. Wait, don't. Where are we going here? I've got more questions.
She's very busy. How about one more question, Mark?
Jeez, thank you. Sandra, I can't possibly let this podcast go without addressing. You know, we've talked a lot about history and women in riding and what's currently going on in this country. is fascinating to me. So I'm wondering, when you hear about what's going on in the news these days with women, I'm wondering if you were like, sit back and go like, yeah, so we've been doing this forever. I mean, for me, Motor Maids is one of the earliest of organizations that championed and empowered women. And I'm wondering, how do you see the news today in its context to what you've been doing for so long?
Well, you know, you could say that about anything. I mean, you think you've come a long way, and then you realize you haven't come very far at all.
very well said.
We keep riding, and we keep doing what we're doing, and we hope that everyone catches up to us.
Well, it would seem to me that the time has always been right, but it's never been righter than it is right now for Motor Maids to come to the forefront. It's an exciting organization. As a company that has had women, as John described, strong women throughout our history, we're thrilled with it, and I'm fascinated to talk to you about it.
We're lucky to have them on the line. That's, I was really excited about the fact that they agreed to be on the podcast.
No question.
So, Sandra, we will wrap this up. We sincerely appreciate that. We look forward to maybe circling back after the convention. And thank you so much for taking the time today to visit with us on Behind the Bars podcast.
Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Sandra.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Behind the Bars podcast, sponsored by Wilkins Harley-Davidson. Stay tuned for our next exciting podcast. Check out additional information on WilkinsHarley.com.